Chapter number 5, in verse number 14, we're going to finish this book tonight in 1 John. And I want the Spirit to give me liberty to teach you, and I want the Spirit to give you liberty to hear tonight what the Bible says. I do not want to give my opinion. I want to give thus saith the Word of God. I never want to stand behind this sacred desk and say, this is my opinion. My opinion ain't going to do you a bit of good, because everybody's got one. But if the Bible teaches us this text, we'll understand it. The Bible says tonight in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse 14, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. 1 John 5:14, and the Bible says, God hears us. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And you know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, I love you and I thank you. I thank you for the laughter that we've already had. I thank you, Father God, for the earnest prayer request that's been lifted up tonight from deep down in people's hearts tonight. Lord, I thank you for the praise report that Sister Vanda's in the house. Lord, I thank you for her and being here tonight. Lord God, I thank you for every person that's in this building tonight. Lord, I thank you for the youth teacher. I thank you for the King's Kids leader. Lord God, I thank you tonight, Father God, for this sacred desk that I stand behind. And Lord God, tonight, I know that you hear us tonight. And I know tonight everything that I'll ever say behind this sacred desk, everything I'll ever idle out of my mouth, Father God, I'll give an account for one day. And Lord, tonight, I pray I preach not my opinion, but I preach thus saith the Word of God. Father, I love you and I thank you. There's people that's coming here tonight, and Lord God, they've come tonight and they're hungry. Lord God, they come tonight and they got to have faith and they got to have hope. They got to have rest and they got to have peace, and that's only going to come through you tonight. So Lord, I pray tonight that you just feed us real good. Lord God, I pray you let us sit down at the buffet, Father God, where you just let us recline and eat at your table tonight. And Lord, we'll be just so happy tonight to give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. God hears us. As we come tonight, we see here in 1 John chapter number 5 that John wrote that God hears us and that we have a direct line unto Him by His Son, Jesus Christ. Matthew 12:36, the Bible says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account therefore in the day of judgment." So tonight I want to share you three things tonight. How you can feel tonight and how we should address that God hears us tonight. That God hears what we say tonight. God hears our petitions tonight. And He understands our groanings tonight. Tonight, if you'll look with me in verse number 14, number 1 tonight, I want to tell you tonight that we can have confidence tonight that God hears us. You know, tonight, God hears a believer tonight, a child of God tonight, one that is washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. God hears. You know, when they was over there in the Bible and we back in the Gospels, and they said, "Hey, we know this man must be from God because God doesn't hear us sinners." That's what the Bible said. And that's so true tonight. The only time God hears a lost man is when he prays that prayer of repentance and he asks God to come into his life. And tonight I want you to know, if you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight, you can have confidence tonight that God hears you. Have you you ever prayed and it felt like that God didn't hear you, or your prayer was just hitting a wall and it wouldn't go through? I got good news tonight. If you're a born-again believer tonight, God hears your prayers tonight. Look what the Bible says in verse number 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Tonight, that confidence that God hears us tonight, we can have confidence that He hears our problems tonight. Any problem that you have in your life tonight, you can have confidence tonight. When you take it to God, He hears them problems when we go there. I'm not talking about complaints tonight. I'm talking about concerns. When we go to the throne room of God and we have a problem and we just can't handle it and we just can't get over it and we take it to God, I want you to know tonight God hears that problems, because we have confidence tonight that God hears our prayers. When we pray tonight and we ask God to move, He hears our prayers and He answers them tonight. He says this, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that He hears our petitions tonight. So I know He don't only hear my problems, He don't only hear my prayers, but He hears my petitions tonight. When I go to Him tonight and I petition the throne room of God and I ask Him tonight, I say, Lord God, I need You to help this brother. I need You to help this sister. Keep my wife safe as she travels to work. Hey, keep my family safe. Keep my daughter safe as she gets behind the wheel of that car. You know what? Tonight, God hears them prayers. You say, preacher, is it worth praying? I say to you tonight, hey, you better be praying. Amen? Hey, tonight, you better be praying. Hey, you got an adversary. You got an enemy tonight. And it's Satan tonight. And he's out there like a roaring lion. He's wanting to destroy. He's wanting to kill you tonight. But tonight, I got good news tonight. I got confidence tonight. Not on my righteousness or my worthiness tonight, but because that I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, God hears my prayers tonight. I have confidence tonight. He hears my problems. He hears my prayers. He hears my petitions. But He also hears my praise tonight when I'm praising Him. And tonight, I want you to get this. And when He hears everything tonight, He don't have an ear that's cut off tonight. He has an ear that can hear tonight. And the Bible says in Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Hey, tonight, if you don't have what you need tonight, it may be because you're not asking. Hey, tonight, if you got something in your life and you need God to step in and you need Him to move on tonight, you can have confidence tonight. And when you ask Him tonight, He'll meet that need in your life. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Hey, tonight, don't be lazy in what you pray. Hey, don't pray for God to give you a job and you lay at home and not go look for one. Can I get a witness tonight? Hey, I've never seen a time like we lived in. I want you to know tonight, hey, there's people, and I want you to know, all over the world we live in, we need to get to this place. If we're praying, asking God, we must not be lazy. He's not going to bless slothfulness. He's going to bless the one that'll get out, and He'll put His hands to the grind rod. And tonight, I want you to know this. When we get there, He says, if we ask, it shall be given. If we seek, we shall find. And if you'll knock, it shall be opened unto you. Hey, tonight, I got good news tonight. I have confidence tonight when I go to my Heavenly Father and I ask Him something and I seek Him and I say, Lord God, I ask You to do this in my life. And I keep knocking. I don't give up, but I keep asking Him and I keep going to Him. I got good news tonight. You can have confidence tonight. He's going to answer them prayers. Amen? And tonight, I want you to get this tonight. We have confidence in verse 14 and 15 that God hears us. You got confidence tonight that God hears you. And as we go tonight, I want you to get this, that God hears us tonight and you can have confidence in it. Hey, but the second thing tonight, I want you to get this. Not only do we have confidence that God hears us, but we should be cautious. We should be cautious. I'm talking about, if you've ever seen caution tape outline something, have you ever seen something said, turn around, don't drown? Hey, this is more cautious than that. This is more cautious than a road being washed away. This is more cautious than you going into a dangerous place. This is the most dangerous thing in a man's life tonight. And I want you to get this in verse number 16. Not only do I have confidence that God hears me, but I ought to be cautious. Cautious to me and to you that God hears us. I must be cautious tonight that God is seeing what I do. He understands what I do. He knows my thoughts before I think them. He knows my uprising and He knows my downsetting tonight. And when I pray to Him, I want you to know tonight, I must be cautious with the things that are in my life tonight. And I want to share with you tonight, and this is where the meat of the text comes. We have confidence tonight that God hears us, but we must be cautious tonight in the way that we live our life. Amen? We must be cautious tonight. And look with me tonight, if you will. We have confidence that God hears us, but we must be cautious that God hears us. The Bible says, And I want to address this in this way. If any man see his brother, I'm stopping right there. The book of 1 John is not written to the lost. It's written to the saved. Okay? So tonight, when what we're fixing to dig into and being cautious is not to the lost man, it's to the saved man. It's not to the lost woman, it's to the saved woman. And he says tonight, if any man see his brother, the key word in this text, and I want you to be cautious tonight, if you call yourself a born-again believer tonight, I don't know if you're saved or not, okay? Hey, there's only one person in this room I can speak for. And this is me standing right here. You know your heart. Hey, you can look, man. You can look and see an apple and it'll look good. They'll turn it up and make it look good, but it'll be rotten on the inside or on the backside. I don't know. I'm just telling you tonight. I want you to be cautious tonight, okay? And I want you to be cautious of this, that God hears us. And get this tonight. The key word in this verse, in verse 16, is brother. That's a born-again believer. If you are going to be addressed as a brother or sister, you know how you know if somebody's saved when they address somebody as a brother or sister? I don't just call him David Barnes. I call him Brother David. I address him why he's my brother. By what we confess one to another, we're bought into the same family and we're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. So tonight, as we get here tonight, and I understand that, he is my brother tonight and I must be cautious tonight. And the Bible said, if a man see his brother, look here tonight, if a man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death. Hey, now I want to say this tonight. Every sin produces death. Every sin. There's a sin not unto death. I understand that. But every sin produces death. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he died for every sin. Amen. Every sin. So I understand that. But he says this sin is not unto death. There is a sin not unto death. And what is that sin? Romans 3:23, the Bible says, for all sin to come short of the glory of God. So it's that sin I'm talking about tonight that is not unto death tonight. It's that sin tonight. It's that sin that you don't know you commit. It's that daily sin that you have no idea. It's that one that we're all sinners, amen? We're all sinners, and God knows that. God knows where we're at. And the blood of Jesus is what covers us tonight. But we all sin, and tonight that sin is not unto death. That sin that we have there, I want you to get this tonight. He says this, that there is a sin that is not unto death for a believer. That's what he's talking about. It's not unto death for a believer. It's that you don't know about. And then once the Holy Spirit convicts you of it, you know what you do? You ask for forgiveness and you move on. You rock on. You don't lay around in it. You just ask the Lord to forgive you and move on. If I offended Brother David tonight and didn't know it, had no clue I'd offend him, had no clue in the world, but he came to me and he said, Brother, you offended me. You know what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to make things right. Right then, if I offended my brother, that's a sin. I may not have known it, but I may have offended him. So I want to get that right. But I want to give you this tonight in verse 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. That's it. You shall pray. You're going to pray. I'm going to pray. And he shall give him life for them sin that not unto death. So he wants us to know tonight that we must be cautious about that sin that's not unto death as a believer. But number two, we must be cautious about a sin that's unto death. Okay? Read with me. There, verse 16. There is a sin unto death. There is a sin unto death. I want to stop right here and I want you to think about this. Do you know of a sin that you know that cannot be forgiven? Don't answer it. I just want you to think about it. Homosexuality. Homosexuality, okay? Two men married, two women married. Can that be forgiven? Yes. Let me answer it to you. Yes. That can be forgiven. That can be reversed. That can be changed. God can save that individual. It can be changed. Adultery. Can it be forgiven? Yes, it can be. Let me go ahead and... Yes, it can be. Alcoholic. Yes. Drug addict. Yes. Murderer. Can it be? Yes, they can be. They can be forgiven. They can be. That person can be born again. That person can be washed. That person can be. And you may be sitting here tonight thinking, well, I didn't know them could be forgiven. Just because you've never done them don't mean that they can't be forgiven. Amen? I mean, if your sin lines up with my sin, you show me grace. But if my sin and your sin don't line up, you may not think I need forgiven for what I've done. But you know what? The grace of God covers me tonight by the blood of Jesus Christ. So tonight, I'm cautious about the sin that's not unto death, but I'm cautious about a sin that's unto death for a believer. I'm cautious about a sin that's unto death for a believer. And this death tonight that I truly believe here, and I want you to understand this, I will never stand behind this sacred desk, never, and tell you that you sin all you want to sin and you're okay. I'll never tell you that. I'll never tell you that. But I tell you tonight, if you're a born-again believer tonight and you're sinning and you're living in that sin and you know to get out of it tonight, you need to be making haste to get out of it. If you're living in that sin and there's not no ticker going off eating you on the inside, you need to be born again. That's as clear as I can get it. If you can live any way you want to, sin all you... Somebody say, hey, I get saved, I'm born again, I got eternal life, now I can live and do anything I want to do. You didn't get saved. Now, I'm just going to tell you, you didn't get saved. You did not get saved. You didn't. There's a change in a person when they get born again. Do we mess up? Yes. Do we continue to mess up? Maybe for a little while, but not forever. There's a ticker on the inside. It's the Holy Ghost. And when he comes and he makes his residency inside of you tonight, he comes inside. So he said there's a sin not unto death, but there is a sin unto death. So I understand tonight that there is an area in my life that I need to make sure that I stay where God would have me today to be so I don't shorten my life. If I can prolong my life by doing what he's called me to do, I can shorten it by not doing what he's called me to do. He said there is a sin of death. I say not what that is. Here's the thing. If you knew what that sin was, you'd go right to it. You'd go right to that line, but you wouldn't do it. You'd do every other sin. If murder was the sin that he said is unto death, you'd do every bit of that, but you wouldn't kill nobody. If adultery was that sin, you'd do every bit of it, but you wouldn't do that. If homosexuality was that, you'd say, well, I'm not that, I'm good. But he didn't put it there. He didn't put it there. He said, I say not what it is. And tonight, listen, if John don't know, can't tell you what it is, your pastor can't tell you what it is. All I know is I got to be cautious and you got to be cautious. It's a warning in the Word of God. But I want to show you three examples that I found in the Word of God where a believer did what they was not supposed to do and it cost them their physical life. Not their spiritual life, but their physical life. Let me show you in the text. Let me show you in the text tonight. All right, if you got your Bibles, if you'll turn with me tonight, what shortened a believer's life? 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 28 and 30. Let me show you this tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 28 and verse number through 30. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 28 through 30. I'm cautious about a sin that's not unto death. And then I'm cautious about that sin that's unto death, that habitual sin. That I know I've been delivered from it, but I keep meddling with it, playing with it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I was at Brother Andy's church, and I told him about them pictures that'll pop up on your phone. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, but them over there, I don't reckon they get it on their phone. It'd pop up, and it'd be a half-dressed woman on there. She'd be half-dressed on my phone. I didn't know. Didn't know the number hit the thing. Here it was, half-dressed. And it'd come up on my phone. And you say, would you delete it? No, I didn't delete it. I tell Brian, I said, come here, I'll show you this. I show it to her. You know the greatest thing in your life besides salvation is a clear conscience. When your conscience is clear, it's clear, son. I ain't hiding nothing from that woman. You know on your phone, when you delete a picture, there's a recently delete something down in there somewhere else. They can go back and look. I didn't know that. I finally found the selfie on there, Brother Brent. I turned around taking selfie pictures on myself. I go, hey, and I deleted them. Brandy got my phone. She said, why are you taking pictures of yourself? I said, what are you talking about? She said, there's a recently deleted, deleted, back down here, deleted. I said, who's got time to figure all that out on the phone? But you listen to me tonight. There's somebody more smarter than him with a phone. Satan knows. He knows if you've truly deleted what's going on the inside. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, let me give you this in verse number 28. But let a man examine himself. Not for me to examine you, not for you to examine me. You examine yourself. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Here it is at Corinth. They was coming and they was taking the Lord's Supper and they was not taking it worthily. They was not taking it right. They was mocking the Lord's Supper. For this cause, in verse number 30, many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. Bible word sleep is dead. Many are dead because it's one example. I don't know if that's what, but one example. Number two, 2 Samuel, if you'll turn with me there. Chapter number 6 and verse number 7. 2 Samuel chapter number 6 and verse number 7, if you'll turn there. 2 Samuel chapter number 6 and verse number 7. Cautious about a sin that's unto death for a believer. You can shorten your life. Let me give you this. 2 Samuel 6 and verse number 7. They got the Ark of the Covenant and they're moving it. They're moving the Ark of the Covenant. And one thing that God told them was, do not touch the Ark of the Covenant. Don't you touch it. If you touch it, Detroit Turner, you dead meat. Can I say to you tonight, God keeps His word. 2 Samuel 6, 7. And the anger of the Lord. Let's go to 6. Let's go to 2 Samuel 6, 6. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Here's the Ark of the Covenant. They're going across the threshing floor and it rocks. It's going to fall over. If I don't touch it and hold it, it's going to fall. Hey, there's some things you can't touch, I can't touch. There's some things off limit. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy you. It's off limits. I'm a married man. Another woman's off limits to me. It'll destroy me. It'll kill me. Listen to me tonight. I'm trying to tell you that it'll kill you. It's off limits. It's no touch. It's no bar. God wrote it in His Word. It's off touch. Here it comes. What if they fall? What are we going to do? I need to be there to hold her up. I need to be there to hold him up. Get away. Do you think He's going to let that Ark of the Covenant fall? No, it's His Ark. It's His covenant. But look here, verse number 7. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his terror, and there he died by the Ark of God. A believer done something he was not supposed to do. Cautious about a sin unto death. Number one, mock the Lord's Supper. This is the examples I found in the Word of God. Number two, moving the Ark of the Covenant. You weren't supposed to touch it. It cost you something. It cost you something. You know what he told Adam? You know what he told Eve? In the day you eat, you shall surely die. What did Adam do? They ate. And what happened when they ate of the fruit? Did he die? Not right then, but he died. So tonight, what I'm trying to tell you is death. Look here tonight. The third thing that an example I want to give you tonight, Ephesians chapter number 6 tonight. Ephesians chapter number 6 tonight. And I want to show you this. Both spectrums of this thing. Both spectrums. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, disobedient to parents. One thing, when I come to this church and I was pastor, God hears us. He hears us tonight. Miss Mavis Egger, she'd tell me, she'd come in the back and we'd go over to her house and eat, and Brother Johnny cook a good meal and we'd play a little bit of Rook. And she'd tell me, she'd say, "You know what, preacher?" I said, "What's that?" She said, "I never sashed my mom and daddy." Brandy's grandmother would tell me, "I never sashed my mom and daddy." You know what sash means? Talk back to. You know what kids do in the world we live in today? They talk back to parents. They talk back to them. I mean, you can't even tell who the mom and the daddy and the kid. They just talk any way they want to. That don't work that way on Mills Hill. I'm done off in left field preaching now because it may happen at y'all's house. But you listen to me. I don't want my daughter to shorten her life by the way she runs her mouth at me. If you allow your kid to talk to you anyway, you're doing a disgrace to them and a dishonor to them. And if they're talking to you that way, they're doing you a dishonor and a disgrace. I can look around this room and I know some men wouldn't let their kids talk to them that way. But you know what? I know some mamas. My mama's about this tall. And it wasn't nothing for her to slap your jaw, son. I'm talking about ring them. And ring them back the other way. And you ain't calling DHR. You ain't even calling Momo and Pawpaw. I'm just telling you the facts. I don't know what we've got to. My mom and daddy won't do that to me. If you had a mom and daddy, they would. And not a friend. I'm telling you what, I love my mama and I love her dearly. But it wasn't nothing. And to this day, I try to do pretty good by her. Well, how long am I supposed to obey her and respect her? She's your parent forever. She's your parent. He's your parent. I don't know who that's for, but it's for somebody. If you love your kids, let them respect you. Demand respect. You're doing them an honor. Dang. Yeah, I am. You know, Brother JJ, back when we played ball back years ago, I moved up your senior year. You didn't take your helmet off and throw it against the fence over there. You didn't take it off at all. You respected that coach. You respected him. You didn't. You didn't get what you want. You didn't throw stuff. No. You didn't do that. Children, 6:1, children, obey. Man, God hears us. He hears us. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. This is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I have a problem if a kid won't obey mom and daddy. They're not keeping what God's called them to keep. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. If I can obey my parents, and I can respect them as a child of God, and it'll make me have a longer life, me disrespecting them and disobeying them, if I can add two, it can shorten it. Just saying. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 5:5, and then we're going to move on to the next point. 1 Corinthians chapter number 5:5. And you say tonight, preacher, and I'm talking tonight about the physical body. The physical body. They're talking here about fornication that's in the church. Fornication that's in the church, and they won't get right. They're born-again believers, but they just won't get right here in Corinth. And here's what he says. He says, here's what Paul told him here in Corinth. He says, to deliver such a one unto Satan. He said, just give him to Satan. Just give him to him. He said, just give him to him. For the destruction of the flesh, so his flesh will be destroyed. Just give him to him. That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Sin tonight in a believer's life, it'll destroy you. It'll distract you. And sin in a believer's life will disqualify you from things that God's trying to get you to do. When I'm not where I need to be with God and He's wanting a task done, it'll disqualify me from that task and He'll give it to somebody else. If He wants it done tomorrow and I'm not willing to do it, He's not going to beg me to do it. He's going to leave me where I'm at. He's going to give it to Brother David, Brother Travis, Brother Les, somebody. He's going to give that task on for His will to be done. Now here it is. But there is a sin unto death. We talked about cautious about the sin that's not unto death, cautious about the sin that's unto death. But I don't want to skip this sin. And that's the unpardonable sin that you cannot be forgiven for. That you cannot be forgiven for. There's no way you can be forgiven for it. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 31. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 31. So I know there's a sin that's not unto death as a believer. As a believer, there's a sin that's unto death. But what about this unpardonable sin? So I know in 1 John he's not talking about the unpardonable sin. So what is this unpardonable sin that I can't be forgiven for? Well, if you're saved, you've not committed that unpardonable sin. If you're saved, you're over that. The unpardonable sin is this, in Matthew 12, 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. Every sin that you can think of can be forgiven, and even blasphemy can be forgiven. Oh yeah. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Here it is. Let me give it to you. You say, preacher, why is it the Holy Ghost? Old Testament, God, Jehovah is on the scene. They do not reverence him as God. They do not see him as God. They blaspheme him and they reject him. He still gives them a chance. He comes in the New Testament. He sends Jesus. Jesus comes on the scene. 33 years he walks this earth. You know what they did? They spit on him. They mocked him. They crucified him. And they still didn't believe he was the Messiah. They still didn't believe he was the way. They still didn't believe he was the truth. And they still didn't believe he was the life. But that ain't the end. He said, I must go that he can come. Who did he send? Sent the Holy Ghost. After the Holy Ghost, there is nobody else. There will be no, he is not sending nobody else. It's over. If you reject the Holy Ghost, that pull, that draw, that sensation, I know I need to be saved. I know I need it. I know I need this conviction. I need this in my life. I need to be born again. And the Holy Spirit's driving that home. And you reject it and you say, I can handle this on my own. I can handle it on my own. I can handle it on my own. And you get to the place where you've rejected it and you die without Christ Jesus. There is no hope for you. That's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Saying there is no God. I need not this. I'd rather stand on judgment day by myself. That is the unpardonable. It's unpardoned. See, you've been born again. I've been born again. I have. I've been pardoned. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to be pardoned. I'm pardoned here. I see number one in this text, the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. So I see this. I see that there's confidence that God hears me when I pray. I hear I ought to be cautious. Even though he hears me, I want to be cautious. Right? I want to be cautious. I just don't want to live anyway. And I've told you this to start with. If a person is born again and they do anything they want to do and live any way they want to live, they're not born again. There's a change in that person's life. I don't care. Listen to me tonight. There's a change. I'm not the same person I was in 2007. I'm not. And when you got born again, if you're still the same person now, you're not born again. Not judging, just telling you. There's a change that comes into place in man. Because somebody this big comes inside of you, there's got to be a change. But when it gets, Brother Brent, you said it when you closed out a while ago. When you have that confidence, man, I'm telling you, and you're cautious the way you walk. I don't want to hurt nobody in this building. Not one person. I never want to hurt your feelings. I love everybody. But I want to be cautious how I walk with Christ Jesus. And when I get to that place that I'm confident he hears me, I'm cautious that he hears me, there comes a calm in my life because he hears me. Because he hears me. You ever seen somebody, tragedy comes to their house and they fall all apart? It's because they're not praying very much. When you're praying and you're talking to God continuously in your life and a big problem comes, he don't get just blown away. She just don't get blown away. They just don't come all unraveled. Yeah, tears, hurt, and pain. But they just don't quit. The little things don't run them off. The little things don't get them away from God. Well, I'm through with God. No. They realize God's bigger than their problems. They realize, hey, if I don't get this right with God, hey, he's bigger than my problems. He's bigger than my pain. And there's a calm. And I want to show you that calm tonight. And if there's anybody that you've ever seen that should have this peace in their life, it should be you and it should be me. I'm praying for people and you are too tonight. I don't know their soul. I know they profess Christ, and I pray they are born again, and I pray the Holy Ghost is wearing them out. And that's what we pray for tonight. And there's a calm. I talked to a preacher today, and I said, I wonder how many preacher friends you and I got are in a casket. Listen to this tonight. Are in a casket because they shortened their life. Wonder how many mom and daddies are in a casket because they shorten their life. What are you talking about, preacher? You ever heard this? I'm about to worry myself to. Can you worry yourself to death? Yes, you can. My mama moved from the projects. She loves living there. There's so much gossip down there, she loves it. She ain't here tonight, is she? Boy, she loves it. Man, I'm on overtime, but we're going to get it, okay? She loves that project more than anybody in the world. Been there 20 years probably. But she wanted to move into a house. I'm at my later years and I want a house. So, okay. So we moved her into Luke Sproul's mama's house over on River Road. We moved her in, got her all moved. Travis was with Missy, me, Brandon, Chad, we all moved her in. Wouldn't have it any other way. We get her moved in over there. She calls. What is it, Mama? Somebody's at the door. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm over there. 4 or 5 days in, I go over there, and her hands from her, I ain't kidding y'all. Listen to me tonight. I'm talking about no peace. From her wrist down was raw meat gone. Not looked like been stuck in hot water with a bit of meat on her hands. I said, Mom, what's wrong with you? She said, no. Look, must be something in the house. Okay. She goes to the doctor. And the doctor said, Miss Shirley, what's wrong with your hands? She said, I don't know. She said, well, have you done anything different? I've moved. She said, go back to where you're at. You've worried yourself to death. You've worried so much, you don't even realize it. You've rubbed the hide off your hands just worrying. She calls me at night and said, I got to go home. I said, when you going? She said, I'm going tonight. I said, hang on. I called Travis. You know. I called Travis up. He brought his trailer. We moved her back home. 2 or 3 days later, that skin started growing back. She's got a peace that passes all understanding. Why? Because she's at home. If you're a child of God tonight and you ain't at home, you're not right where He wants you to be. You're going to worry yourself to death. You're going to die early for worrying about stuff. I wonder how many preachers is worried about stuff that's God's business, not their business, and they're in an early grave. I wonder how many mamas and daddies tonight is worried about their kids so much they're going to be in an early grave when they should have just gave it to God. Let me show you this tonight, and we're going to go, man. I know they're waiting on us out there. Look at this tonight, verse number 20. And we know that the Son of God has come. We know He's came. And we know He's given us an understanding. Man, I understand it. Not everything, but I understand it better than I did. That we may know Him that is true, and we're in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the true God. And eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. I'm going to give you this before we go. Verse number 18 says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Just a little side note before you go home. If you're born again tonight, there's not a demon in hell can get in you. He can torment the outside of you. He can torment everything around you, but he can't get in you. Where that Holy Ghost is, he can't come. Where that Holy Ghost is, he has no residency. He has no place to come. He said he cannot come near you. He can't come in you. I don't know about you, but that's something to be thankful for tonight. I've seen it. People have demons in them, and I've seen it. I've seen it. Listen to me tonight. They're real. God hears you, and He hears me. I'm praying for them tonight, and I'm praying for you tonight, and I'm praying for myself tonight. Don't you ever take for granted tonight that somebody else is praying for you. You make sure you're lifting yourself up too to Jesus. You hear me? Don't you take for granted. Well, they my best friend. They pray. Don't you take that for granted. You make sure tonight that you've got confidence that God hears you. You're cautious the way you're living your life. And you'll have a calm and you'll have a peace that passes all understanding. Sister Brenda, a while ago, you was talking about that lady got blowed up in that stove. That got burnt in that stove. I was over on 25 in the gas business. We was going to clean out a fireplace. They done taught me all I needed to know. I'm talking about to the T, son. And I got over there, and I had plenty of confidence that I could do the job that needed to be done. And this woman was standing behind me, and I squatted down there. I'm working for the gas company, and I squat down there, and I move everything back on that gas stove, on a heater. And I look in there, and the first thing Joel Scott told me was, never turn your can over. It puts liquid in. First thing I done, spun that can over and shot liquid all inside there. Next thing he told me to do, don't you ever light a match if you've done that. I reach in my pocket and I pull out a lighter. And I stuck it in there. And when I hit that igniter, that thing blowed. It blowed me back, my hat off, everything. All my eyebrows are singed off. And this woman, she says, sir, are you okay? I said, ma'am, I'm professional. Everything's fine. You can... Listen to me. Listen to me. You know it's truth. That ain't the only story. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm a mess up. I'm a mess up. But you listen to me tonight. A man of God and the will of God's invincible till God gets done with him. Listen to me tonight. I should have blowed up, should have been dead right then. Before I got born again in 2007, meth lab blew up on me. All the hide on my face peeled off. No hide. They bring me home and they knock on the door. I'm supposed to be at work, and they take off and leave me standing at my front door, and my wife that thinks I'm at work comes to the door, and there I stand with no meat. Can't go. I can't go to the ER. I'm on probation. I'm gone if I get. What are you talking about, preacher? You make sure tonight that you know what the plan that God's got on your life. And tonight He hears you, and He's wanting to use you tonight. And you have confidence in that, and you be cautious how you walk. And when you get to that place and you say, I'm not perfect, I know I'm not, but I'm doing the best I can under the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll have a calm and you'll have a peace that passes all understanding. Tonight, if you need that, I want you to know tonight God's in the house. Amen? Let us pray. Father, I love you and I thank you. Lord, I pray tonight you be with that baby that's crying. Lord God, help her. Lord God, I pray tonight, Father God, you be with this whole church. Lord God, tonight, whoever I'm talking to tonight, they know. Father, they know the Spirit's talking tonight. They know the Spirit's alive and it's well. Lord, I ask you tonight to search that heart. Lord, that one tonight that don't have much confidence, I pray you give them some tonight. That one tonight that's just living any old way, I pray you let them have a cautious walk this week. Lord, I pray you put a peace and a calm over them that passes all understanding. Father, I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people said. Amen. Amen. Have a good night. Love y'all.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know. Everything I need, you got this honey.